Hello,
Coach.
Nobody gets in there.
What do you say?
A lot of coffee.
Is the kid going to be a star?
Just work it out.
Coach, drink coffee now?
I'm not really drinking that much.
Is he going to find peace of mind? The coast goes.
You know, I thank God every
Anything
day we're not a TV station.
The coast, the William Morris Agency.
Well, look, you can't just pluck someone off the street.
Is what Martin Buber is to the rest of the world. The thing you go to for all the questions that have no answers. In the elevator, 32nd floor. I saw this guy with a hat over his eyes. About his ankles bent over. This I said, "You going down?"
And if all this DNA were unwound,
again, it's for show purposes, so you have to be a little bit.
I was in the elevator with the coast. 5 o'clock in New York City. Even the coast goes home.
That's disgusting.
Because what I am going to tell
such
you
a drama queen
is there will be
truth.
No suckage of any kind anymore.
And the strange myth
This is the
ever.
37th time.
And that is.
I have spoken to you from this office.
President Nixon.
Where so many decisions.
Has a face
have been made
that looks like a
the
foot.
This nation. Each time I have done so to discuss with you some matter that I believe affected the national interest.
I was walking by the television
set.
All
the decisions I have
made
said, in my public life,
hey,
I have always tried.
Why isn't there a shoe and a sock on that? And it was President Nixon having one of his face to foot confrontations.
Dressed in rhinestones at dark. Looking way too.
Great.
Nope. Oh my God, what do we have here?
I hate this feeling.
We have reached the end of the show.
Which Pikachu are you already for? You're annoying.
I know. I love static.
Be sure Yao is all about your humming sucks.
More information. Join the National Rifle Association. Scott Sutton, Washington, D.C.
Hi, players. It's time to get dirty. Tonight's contestant seems to be a regular, making him a worthy catch. For those unfamiliar, he's been with us for 3 episodes now, and we're dying to see him in a better place. Handsome Devil in a few spots. Chino's Burger Shack, his Bayliner yacht in Pier 44, the South Bay Gentlemen's Club. And lately, he's been passing time with a little birdie at the Pink Flamingo condo.
You said you didn't tell anyone.
I didn't.
Thank you.
and we could all sleep easier.
No need for the cops.
So let's get armed and dangerous before it's too late. Guns made America great.
Guns made America big and strong. No one's left to save us. John Wayne's gone. Everybody's picking on the NRA. Tell them guns made America great. Guns made America great.
Listen, buddy. I got money. It's in my suitcase. Hold on, buddy. I got money. Listen, pal. I got 100K in my suitcase.
Thank you.
Please. No.
That's very nice.
Wait! No! No!
I think it's time for a love booster. That's right. Now we're 70,000 love points. Just look at that handsome mug.
It likewise promises only that it will help normal people make fuller use of their normal personality.
What do I have to say? Looking back on this grand life, my heart so full of the memories of the world, yet what do I pass on? As a little girl, my imagination was oh so big. That innocence, that hope. I've seen it all. I've lived it all. But what can I say? I remember that childhood home and the beacon of light always keeping me lit in the dark. I was the captain who steered into the action, that feeling of being alive. You couldn't stop me now. That need to explore was in my blood. Figuring out the universe and appreciating even the smallest parts of it. That first electric moment of two souls connecting. I knew I was unusual, more colorful than others, and those colors attracted other big colors. Then I feel that girl still pulsing through my veins, like butterflies fluttering by. My years on this earth may have been simple, but I've lived it in a way that can never be told through words. The only way is to show you. If we all just allow ourselves to see the world from a different perspective,
in a beautiful house with a beautiful wife.
And you know, you may say to yourself, well, how did I get there?
Yourself, what is that
beautiful house?
You may ask yourself,
where does that highway go to?
You may ask yourself,
am I
right?
Am I
wrong?
And you may say to yourself,
my God,
what have I done?
You play as one of these miners, waking up in a space station with no idea what happened and why the place is so empty. Gotta find the coffee.
We'll be right back.
like we've heard once before. Take your shirt off, you drop on the floor. Then you crawl to the bedroom, but you stop at the door. Conversations grow old. You and I, we have not said a word in a while. I'm losing my humor, you're losing your smile. And the night portrays us, the moon. Second-hand lovers tonight. Seasons and sorrows and pictures we took. You'll start smoking. I'm reading a book. I'm losing my vision. You're losing your looks and place better, play sweet. You let your head down, you roll up your seat, and you crawl to the bed, but you stop at its feet. And the night portrays us, the moon betrays us, and the dark. Covers by second-hand lovers tonight. Something about my voice reminds you of something I used to say, you used to love.
Angelica, thank you so much for watching this video today. Today's video is going to be called Becoming a Fifth Dimensional Being Here on Earth. And I wanted to make this video because I think it's going to cover a wide range of topics and kind of help to put your mind at ease that this process that we're going through does have an end. There's a reason for it. So if you're feeling uncomfortable or you're trying to figure out what's actually going on, you're feeling some confusion, with your journey, then I think this video is going to help you because you'll have a better understanding of the different dimensions and the energies that we're actually merging with. So first of all, on this topic, I really wanted to cover the new senses that you're going to have, the gifts, the abilities, the ways of seeing the world that are going to be changing in your physical body. It's not that they're going to be changing in your actual physical body, but they're going to kind of be coming online. So you're going to be having access to new senses that you didn't have access to before. And some people have a little bit of trouble understanding what those are or connecting with those senses because they're so new and they're so different. And they respond to a different kind of energy, a different dimensional frequency. So they're very subtle. So it takes some work to allow yourself to feel these higher vibrations. Now, there's a higher vibration of love that's not so dense. It's a fifth dimensional love. There's a fifth dimensional sense of sight that you see without your regular third dimensional eyes. There's a fifth dimensional way of touch, feeling, hearing, just sensing, perception, telepathy. So all of these things you're now experiencing and you're learning what they are. And it's really interesting because all these senses that come online when you go through a spiritual awakening and you start moving out of the density and into the, well, we're still in density, right? But what's happening is the fifth dimension's merging with the third dimension. And so we're becoming both. So we're going to take along with us those gifts that we have already being on the earth plane. And then we have access to all these new gifts that are coming down as our bodies are merging with this fifth dimensional energy. And then at the same time, our earth itself is raising up and merging with this fifth dimensional energy. It's evolution. This is what's happening. So I wanted to talk a little bit about these senses and these gifts. So when you go through a spiritual awakening, you will have access to new abilities. And the reason why it's so difficult to actually tune into these abilities is because you have no experience using them. You're used to the earth plane. So what it's going to take is it's going to take a little bit of practice. It's going to take a little bit of faith and trust and understanding how the fifth dimensional frequencies work and operate. Well, they operate, first of all, very subtly. So if you're not grounded, if you're living in the past, if you're living in the future, you know, you're not going to be able to access these energies. Because it takes you being very in tune with your actual physical third dimensional body in order to access these higher dimensional energies, frequencies, senses, gifts, talents that you already possess, but you can't sense them because you don't have the ability to, you know, use them yet, because you just, sometimes you will be using them and then you won't even know it because your brain is still kind of changing and transferring into this new frequency. So becoming a fifth dimensional being on Earth requires you to...
Some people think that just because you pay less with Groupon, you're getting less. And that's crazy.
Thank you. Now, I'm not sure. Tycho, I'm... Because they got an up-close view of me, and I don't know if these were drones or if these were angelic beings of some kind. I don't know what they were. All I know is they were multicolor. I've never heard these before. I've never seen these on video before. To my knowledge, I may be the only person that's ever seen these type of UFOs. But they were flat, rectangular type objects, about like this wide, about that wide, depth-wise, and they were about that thin. They looked like very thin. Like a sheet of a very thin sheet of plywood or something, with every color in the rainbow on them. And again, they were just kind of moving through the air at about 3 miles an hour over my head, 50 feet above my head. I'm just like, are you kidding me? Anyways, that was when I knew they knew who I was. And and right after that, I saw another V formation of, I don't know what these things were, but some kind of winged type beings that did not move. The wings did not move at all. I don't know if they were craft or beings or what, but they were multicolored, not bright colors. These ones that were right over my head, those were bright color. Every color in the rainbow, red, blue, pink, purple, every color you can think of, they were colored on that. So it was just the most amazing UFOs or drones or whatever they sent down. I'm not sure, but whatever they sent down, this was in 2004. They sent these craft down to get a closer look at me. And that was when I knew for sure they know who I am, and there's no doubt about that. So that's 2004. So ever since 2004, I've had sightings. 2005, I saw the Phoenix Lights. I moved to from California to Arizona. 2005, I see the Phoenix Lights, and that was an amazing sight as well. And by the way, the Phoenix Lights that I saw were just so amazing. I saw I don't know how big these craft were. They're large commercial aircraft. And literally, just one of the lights, to go from one end of the light to the other end of the light, literally a commercial plane took about 2 seconds to go across the light. Because I could see the light hovering above it, and they were going below it. And it literally looked like it took about 2 seconds for it to cover the span of the light. So these lights on that UFO had to be huge, or they had to be multiple UFOs. Not really sure. All I know is they were huge. And as far as they were spread out, it appeared to be they were about a mile across, spread out. So it was either one craft that was a mile wide, roughly about a mile wide, or it was multiple crafts spread out about a mile wide. So that was 2005. And then ever since 2005, I've just seen UFOs off and on. Just, I'll look up in the sky, because I'm always looking up in the sky. It's like, oh, wow, there's a UFO up there. And I'll watch a UFO for 2 or 3 seconds. And that's kind of how it's worked. For over the years, I've had UFO sightings. And then it wasn't until August 6, 2013, that a friend of mine showed me some pictures of orbs. And I was just like, the light switch went off in my head. And I knew, without a doubt, that if my friend could take pictures of orbs, I knew I could take pictures of orbs. So I literally told my friend, I'm going out on this patio that night, and I was going to go take pictures of orbs. And I didn't know how I knew this. I just knew, without a doubt, that I could do it. And so, lo and behold, August 6, 2013, 2 years ago, I came out onto this very patio. And within 18 seconds, I took my very first orb photograph. And it was literally right over this wall in that direction. And it was, I call it the blue avocado. I'm going to show you one picture of that right now. Where they come from? I don't know where they come from. All I can tell you is, I'll tell you a few secrets about them. They love animals. There's something about animals. They're here to protect animals. They're here, I believe, to help us and assist us. And I believe they're also here to help and assist animals. I've seen the most amazing things happen with them around animals. When my dog died a few years ago, my very first orb photographs were actually taken about 4 years ago, but I didn't know it at the time until after this happened. And I went back and looked at my old photographs, and lo and behold, wow, I took some orb photographs 4 years ago when my dog was dying of cancer. And that was, you know, something that was just blew me away as well, because all of a sudden I see years later that there's these orbs all over my dog. What were they doing? Trying to heal my dog? I don't know. I'm not sure what was going on there. But what I do know is that they have been around me, and I believe it was because I needed to be healed. And they actually healed my body, or they taught me how to heal my body. I don't know exactly how it worked. All I know was I was able to learn how to raise my frequency up to extremely high levels. And in so doing, disease just is not in my body anymore. I mean, I feel totally healthy. Even though I'm still, you know, obese by most people's standards, I'm very fit for my size. I'm able to do things that most people can't do. And I walk every single day of my life now for 2 years. So the bottom line is, my life, my health has changed, my physical body has changed, I'm leaner, I'm thinner, I feel fantastic, I'm in a great place mentally. If I just didn't have the trolls out there, life would be awesome. So that was one of the things that really brought me out of this frequency and lowered my frequency this last year. The first year, I did not allow negative beings, negative people into my life too much. I tried to stay away from them as much as possible. And when this first happened, let me tell you, there was a massive negative energy flow that came from me. People did not want to hear this information 2 years ago. They still don't want to hear it. For some reason, people, I believe, have been conditioned to not see the orbs. They're dust orbs. Come on, they're dust orbs. Move along. Don't think about this. I want you to know these are advanced beings. They've teleported objects to me on multiple occasions. They've teleported this. I lost this particular lens cap for the second time. I lost my lens cap. And sure enough, the first time it happened, it was out in the desert for 4 months, and all of a sudden, whammo, watching a video on angels, and magically, lens cap that was covered with dust from 4 months of being out in the desert magically was at my feet while I'm watching videos on angels. So another little coincidence that lets me know they're angels. So the reason I think they're angels or angelic beings, or they're just interdimensional beings that are friendly beings, I don't care how you look at it, I've never had one moment of fear around them. They're positive. They've done nothing but positive things for me. They've done nothing but be there for me every single day of my life for 2 years. So what I want people to walk away with is these beings are very real. They're advanced. And every single one of us can have a connection with these beings. I've literally been connecting people for 2 years. They literally showed me how to do that. And for 2 years now, I've been able to stick my hand out and have people touch my hand, and instantly they're connected to this realm where they can actually take these photographs. And now they can do the exact same thing I can do. They can photograph these angelic beings, these advanced interdimensional beings. The reason I say they're interdimensional, I don't know for sure. I just know they can go through walls. The other day, I had 500 of them, 500 in my house, in my room. Now, they weren't there, and then all of a sudden, whammo, there's 500 in my room. So the bottom line is, there's times when I've seen where there's none around, and then all of a sudden I ask them to come down, and instantly there's 1,000, or 500, or 200, or 5, or 50, or whatever. It doesn't matter. Bottom line is, they weren't there, then all of a sudden they show up. So the key thing is, I want people to know we can have relationships with these beings. And again, I believe they're angelic beings. If you go to Diana Cooper, who is one of the foremost experts on angels, she says that orbs are angels. They're the light bodies of angels.
An arrangement that was on wax and rearranged it.
This is Just Energy. episode, we are going to be joined by former National Security Investigator for the U.S. government, John D'Souza. John is a researcher and experiencer of paranormal and spiritual phenomena. Today we'll be discussing his new book, The Extra Dimensionals, which presents tales of non-terrestrial visitors and their agendas on our path. So please welcome John D'Souza. John, thank you so much for coming on the show. I am so excited. I have seen your name all over like Facebook for years, and I just am honored to have you be on the show and find out that you're a New Yorker also, which means we're going to have a lot of fun just, you know, shooting it.
Thank you, Dr. Rita. That is wonderful. The honor is all mine to be on your show. I've always loved your work, and the interviews that you do are superior, just outstanding. And so I am so honored to be here with you. Thank you so much. And yeah, New Yorkers are different. They're a different breed. It's funny. So yeah, I'm so happy to be here with you. Thank you so much.
Well, you know, when you get two of them together, and then the conversation just goes...
Oh yeah.
Wherever.
Oh yeah.
It goes
yeah.
But so this is your first time on the show, and I only do this for first-time guests, but I already know you're going to be coming back, so you do not have to do this formality ever again. But could you share with the listeners a little bit about yourself? I mean, you worked, you know, like in secret government stuff, and now you write about like this weird alternative material.
Yes.
So what's your deal?
Yes, my name is John D'Souza. I was formerly a FBI special agent for over 20 years. I worked in the national security structure of the United States, and I worked mostly counterterrorism matters, which is a whole very intricate deal. And so now, during that time, I collected what I like to call the real X-Files. I have a lot of stories and true tales that I've collected over the years that I've researched and looked into, and I share those with people now in my books. I wrote the Para Investigators, which is the story of supernaturally gifted investigators and how they got that way and who they are and why you may be one of them. Now I have the Extra Dimensionals, which is the story of our a study and story of alien visitors, who they really are, what their agendas are, and what they're doing here with us. And currently it's available on Amazon, CreateSpace, Barnes & Noble, and on my website, John Tama Books.
Okay. So on this show, you know, we've had a number of guests that talk about UFOs and extraterrestrials and stuff. But your new book is talking about extra dimensions, and you put a whole new twist on this kind of encounter. And I don't know that my listeners or even myself know what you mean by that term.
Yeah, well, extra dimensionality is a bad penny that keeps coming back to the alternative community and to extra, all discussions on extraterrestrials over and over again. Every few years, that doctrine, it gets buried, but it always seems to come back. It's kind of an upsetting idea and controversial. So let me just tell you what it is. It's something that I did not invent. It's connected. It's almost the same as the interdimensional hypothesis, which was proposed by great thinkers like Jacques Vallée, mm-hmm. and many, many others as well. And it's something that makes sense, but again, it's controversial and it can be a little upsetting, especially in the exo community as well. It's basically the idea that alien visitors are not physical, that they are not from our time and space, that they are not from the Pleiadian galaxy or any other galaxy in our time-space continuum. They are, instead, from other dimensions outside of our time and space, and that they transit into our time and space for periods of time, most of the time not for very long, and they transit back to wherever outside of our dimensional time and space as well. Now, that may sound like a very simple idea, but if you really get into the consequences of it, it can be very upsetting to people. People, first of all, the national governments want to keep this exploration of our space. They want to keep that going. They want to keep that growing as well. And they want to always be able to have people believe that they're looking for alien species or to make contact in our time and space with other races. And there's a lot of resources in our universe that's devoted towards that mindset. And I also call it kind of it's the mindset of ET imminency. Like at any moment, they can show up on spaceships to save us, to give us a grab bag of goodies, cure for cancer, things like that. So that's why in my book, what I do is I go through a lot of the great classic tales of ET contact, some of the ones that are known by so many people, and I examine them from what my expertise is, just purely as an investigator. I'm an attorney. I've been involved in the court system as an expert for many, many years, as a prosecutorial assistant for many, many years, as a special agent as well. And so the only thing I claim expertise in is in being an investigator, which the largest part of that is revealing truth when there is a great deal of resources expended to hide the truth, to cover it up, to resist revealing. And right now we're living in a society where a great deal of expense and resources are being expended to keep people in the dark on a lot of these topics. Mm-hmm. And ufology is hugely important to keep in this sort of retro mode of 50 years ago. And so a lot of expense is spent towards that. And so that's one of the things that my book, The Extra Dimensionals, addresses by going through some older stories, tales of what really has gone on, purely from the investigative standpoint, and then some new stories as well of things that actually did happen and that show the truth about who extraterrestrials or extradimensionals really are.
So I guess I still haven't made a separation of what the difference is between an interdimensional being and an extra-dimensional being. I mean, you gave the definition of the extra, different time-space continuum, but then how does an interdimensional being fit into this?
Oh, no, those definition-wise? Yeah, those are the same. Interdimensionality is basically the same as extra-dimensionality. It's just a new name for a very ancient idea. It's an idea that goes back way, way into pre-recorded history, which is just that these alien visitors are not really here. They're really someplace else. And they are coming through. They are coming through some sort of portals. They are coming through some sort of wormhole, something that connects them from their reality into our reality. And some people call that interdimensional. Some people call that extra dimensional.
Okay.
But it's all the same, and it all kind of withdraws us from this system of where we're just spinning our wheels, in my opinion. And searching for alien life in this physical reality. That's the basis of it.
Well, then let's start in the easy part. So do you think that there are extraterrestrials in this reality?
Yes. I've had contact experiences of my own, and in my years of studying the contact experiences of others, yes, I do believe that there is some form of alien visitations that are occurring here in our universe on a continual basis. And the strange thing about it is that they're not, these experiences aren't reducing, they're not leveling off, they're not tapering off, they're only increasing. And they're increasing at an alarming rate. And I feel like we're building towards some kind of crescendo. And that's why the tagline for my book is, they are coming. Are you ready? That's the tagline, because I really feel that whoever they are coming. Now, who exactly alien visitors are is a whole nother area, which will probably be my next book. But we can at least ascertain their agendas. We can ascertain what is it that they're really trying to do. And because we see their actions. We see their actions through the famous experiences that have gone on and have been documented over and over again. So that's at least that part. But we need to get off of the paradigm that ufology has had us in for the last 50 years, 60 years, I would say, which is just, yes, UFOs are real. Yes, they are. They are alien visitors. Let's argue about that. You know, we can't keep staying on that plateau. We got to get off that plateau. And we've got to progress to who are they and what is their purpose, what is their agenda, and what can we do in response? You know, we need to progress towards that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just not happening.
Well, and we're going to come back to that because that's a really important part. But I'm kind of stuck on your whole, like, who these guys are. I mean, because I guess I believe that there are life forms in our galaxy, in our universe, whatever, that have been here and visited us and take on corporeal form. I mean, I do believe that.
That they have been
and might still be coming, whatever. You know, the grays, wherever they're from. You know, there's so much stuff out there that people say, you know, well, you know, I'm not even going to say it because it's not nice. But anyway.
No, please say it. We're from New York here. Go ahead.
No, it's really not. You'll have to listen to other interviews that I've done where I just kind of go off.
That's what I was hoping for.
No, it's not my interview. You have to interview me, and then I'll just...
Oh, yeah, okay, now I...
That's the secret.
Gotcha.
But I also believe that there is a whole realm of life that many people don't want to take into consideration, which are beings that live, that take on a non-corporeal form. I mean, I am an avid believer that there are ghosts, you know, and a believer that, you know, somehow spirit guides and angels, and I'm just using those words, you know, as catch-alls for levels or of non-corporeal beings that we interact with in our daily lives. I mean, you know, I've done ghost hunting. You know, I have two ghosts that live in my current house. You know, my late husband visits me. You know, I mean, it's like, it's normal to me. And so I recognize that there is life that doesn't take on a corporeal form. And so with these beings, are they non-corporeal beings? And could they be misunderstood as being an angel or a demon that doesn't take on corporeal form?
Oh, absolutely. They can be. And I, you know, it's always a good idea to stay away from religious labels like angel and demon.
Yeah.
Because we need to address these things in cosmic terms, that so that our filter doesn't get reduced down to hardly anything here. So yeah, non-corporeal beings.
Vimeo changed my life. I had this constant need to film, make these creations, and share them with everyone. I've been making videos since I was a kid, and when I uploaded my first video to Vimeo, it launched me out into the world. I became part of this community of other creators who help fuel each other, hone our crafts, network and learn, get discovered and inspired. It's a place where you're appreciated and seen.
So, yeah, non-corporeal beings, that then somehow translate us, the contactees, into whatever medium they're in. See, that's how I see it. I see that when contact is made, somehow the contactee is translated to something else. And that's the trick, really, because they're not becoming, not necessarily, and of course there's exceptions always, but they're not necessarily becoming corporeal to be with us. I think that they are becoming, instead translating the situation to make others non-corporeal, like them, during the experience. That's how I see it anyway. But the other thing I wanted to address that you just said is that there's no question that alien civilizations did exist in the past, because we all can see, no matter how much NASA takes these photos and airbrushes out things that are structures and makes everything look gray and dingy and blurry so that we don't see anything. I mean, all we have to do is go to the real work being done by people like Jose Escamilla and others, and we can see obviously that there was a time when these alien visitors were completely physical, because we see their work, we see their stuff on Mars, we see structures on Mars, we see structures on the moon, especially on the side that we're not supposed to see, the dark side, and we see all these things happening, and they're obvious. So there was a time in our solar system when alien visitors were completely physical, and we see all these structures that just don't have any sort of human imprint on them. For one thing, because a lot of these structures are just enormous, miles and miles and miles in size. Like there's a satellite dish on the moon, along with some kind of sonar cannon that is miles. It's like a mile in length. It's something that could not have been created by human beings, and wouldn't be convenient for human beings to create. So a lot of these things, there's no doubt that there was a time when alien visitors were completely corporeal in our solar system, and they were there, because they're even the monolithic structures that could not have been created by human hands all over the Earth. These things are everywhere, and I document this in my book, The Extra Dimensionals. So many instances of these monolithic structures that it just wasn't possible for humans to create. The mathematics involved, the precision involved, the technology, it just wasn't there. So there's no, but my other part of my hypothesis is that for some reason they're not able to incorporate, if that's the right word, to become physical on our plane for very long periods of time now. Whatever the conditions were back then, somehow something has changed, and so they can't just show up on the White House lawn for a long period of time and just be here with us. Now, however, they can still send technology, they can still send ships, they can still send things that have to do with technology to show up and to befuddle us. So that's part of the health thing too.
Well, but then, you know, what it made me think of was like Graham Hancock's work, where he, you know, utilizes ayahuasca or people that use other kind of, you know, drugs to connect yes. with the gods. So yes. do you think they are actually
we call them herbs.
With them?
Yes. Herbs. I like herbs. Yeah. Drugs are artificial, but things that come from the earth are herbs. So yes, I do believe that happens all the time, and I believe that is an extra-dimensional experience, the ones that Graham Hancock talks about, and we are able to translate ourselves through contact with these herbs, like ayahuasca, that actually can transport us to an extra-dimensional reality outside of our time and space. And so that's a great way, and there were some great thinkers who used to say that if the astronaut program was absolutely honest, they would, instead of taking these people and shoving them into rockets and shooting them into empty outer space, they would have them sit in the jungle and drink ayahuasca, because they'd have much more chance of contacting alien life that way than they would being shoved into a metal tube that's being shot off into space for some reason. And I thoroughly believe that. I believe that's absolutely true. Terrence McKenna, he's the one who said that. That was it.
Terrence McKenna. And actually, I'm working on a book, you know, and one day I'll actually get back to working on it, where it looks at ritual, indigenous ritual, with the drumming and the chanting and the dancing as a vehicle to take us to that place where other cultures use things like peyote and ayahuasca to take them to that place, which I think is interesting because it's global. All of those cultures utilize techniques to connect them with the gods and to heal themselves and to do these things. So
yes, and that's trance and self-hypnotism. That's what those, I mean, at least that's what we would call those things, using the drum trance and the drums for that purpose.
But so, it takes them to an ecstatic state.
Right.
You know, so.
Right.
Yeah, know, I so think it's they more than trance to me.
Yes. Know? They need the herbs for that, though, don't they? They need the herbs as
apparently
well for that.
Not.
Really?
Apparently
just with drumming?
Not. Well, not just with the drumming. It's the drumming and the chanting.